You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. So Jane, we're at the end of 2024. I believe this is the last show.
For the year. Not for good,
thankfully, yeah. No, for the year. And we thought the best way to end the year would be to talk about the very commonly asked questions regarding this buyer agency agreement regulation, which went into effect back in August of 2024. A lot of customers, a lot of your clients have a lot of questions and, you know, confusion about this. So we thought it's best to dissect this and break it down for our listeners. So the best we can.
Yeah. I have to say, Ken, this year, 2024, the most asked question is about this buyer agency agreement. Back earlier this year, there's a lot of talk on the TV show, on the radio, on the newspaper, everywhere. So I did receive a lot of calls from my past clients, which is I'm deeply moved. And although this client has been, you know, years back, when they heard big news on the radio or on TV, they think of us. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate it. You know,
sure.
They concern, they ask me, is it going to affect us? How is it going to affect our business? That's very kind of them. And later on, I have a lot of clients, because I represent a lot of sellers last few years. The seller, most cases, they're going to buy a house either in New Jersey or out of the States. But this mandate is a nationwide, so they encounter the agreement. So they want to make sure it is right, you know, rather than certain agent just try to give them something they don't have to sign, because this is all new. In the past, we never have to enter a formal agreement with a buyer agent. The leasing agent always have agreement, But a buyer, we never have to enter legally agreement. You basically give them, say, as you know, consumer information, discuss about your role, your responsibility, ask the buyer to sign, but that's about it. And that document you don't have to sign as long as you give it to them. But this is a 5 pages. So a lot of clients is really concerned, say, oh my God, now I have to sign 5 pages. I had so many people calling me and ask me, why will I have to sign it? Can I not sign it? Why will I have to sign it?
A lot of follow-up questions. How long is it binding for? You know, what's the extent of it? What does it cover?
Yes.
And this is all, just to backstep a minute, this is all stems from the lawsuit that was settled by the National Association of Realtors involving a class action suit that by a bunch of sellers.
Yep.
I think it started in Missouri, that there wasn't full transparency. So, and then in New Jersey, what they did, the requirement for the written buyer agency agreement stems from the New Jersey Consumer Protection Enhancement Act that went into effect. That's one of the mandated changes, is this written buyer agency agreement, along with other things like now the seller disclosure must be completed by the seller, which is, you know, a detailed questionnaire. There's certain other things for open houses. There has to be more, you know, notice to the visitors.
Yes.
You know, you have to identify, the host has to identify who they represent. So we're going to break that all down, but we're going to focus mostly on the buyer agency agreement. And again, the reason for it is to ensure there's full transparency to the buyers, and that the fees, the whatever the fee or the commission or the compensation is the correct term, whatever the compensation that the buyer has to pay their agent must be specified in this written agreement.
Yeah, once again, all these new law rules, the intention is to protect the public, is to helping the buyers. It's not really, you know, give everyone more work to do. It's truly the purpose is to protect the consumer. Yes.
Right.
And once again, Ken, maybe before we start to go through this document, we should discuss what's the difference between real estate agent and realtors.
Right. So a realtor is really the subset of a real estate agent. In order to represent a client as an agent, you must be a real estate agent. You must pass the tests and the licensing requirement. But then if you're a realtor, you also belong to the National Association of Realtors, NAR, and the local chapter as well. And you have that, and you have that trademark symbol, the R with the little, with the circle around it, the small R. And that signifies that you also abide by the NAR standards, the ethics requirements, and the training requirements and continuing education requirements imposed by the National Association of Realtors. And then this, so, and this written buyer agency agreement that we're covering really pertains to the settlement that New Jersey has mandated for NAR to follow. So if you're a realtor, you must have this written agreement.
The reason I just brought it up, the question there is you have to be a licensed real estate agent in order to practice real estate or participate in any transactions, acting as an agent. You need a license. However, it's not every licensed New Jersey agent is the member of New Jersey Realtors, right? So that's a difference. But in Central Jersey, because this radio audience in Central Jersey, to our best knowledge, the majority of the real estate agent in Central Jersey are in fact a member of NAR, you know, the Realtor Association. So we call ourselves realtors because, you know, we have, once as Ken mentioned, we go through the training, we hold a higher level, you know, the experience-wise, knowledge-wise, skill-wise, and ethic-wise, right? So that's why these documents is only for real estate agent whom also a member of the National Realtor Association.
National Association of Realtors, right. And if you're a broker, and if you belong to a broker company, and if they're a member, then by requirement, you as the individual agent for that brokerage must also be a member of NAR as well as the local.
The reason I say that, right, this one, what we go through now is a New Jersey realtor standard, you know, the buyer agreement. If you're buying a house in Florida, if you're buying a house anywhere, you know, outside New Jersey, they may have a similar document for you to sign. So, but they may add something specific that state, but majority of the overall, I would believe, is similar to the one we have. Right. In these agreements.
And there were other states well before the lawsuit was initiated that already had, as a standard practice, the written buyer agent agreements with their buyer. So this,
you know,
so
what, that Ken, was, I have to say, right? I mean, in the past, even though it's not a customary buyer signed agreement, but I know back when I started, right, a long time ago, there are certain buyers, agent does sign agreement with a buyer, because the thing is, right, I mean, once again, that time is customary. Seller pay the buyer agent fee, but it's not. The seller never meant it to pay the fee. I mean, that's about the lawsuit, right?
Right.
The seller has to pay buyer agent fee. It's just negotiable, but somehow some agent maybe misspoke and misrepresent. That's a lawsuit start. But since I was trained, does the commission always negotiable? Between the
You don't even, and even using the word commission is probably a mislabeling, because really it's a compensation, because there is no, in the law there's, and in the form is clear to state that it's really the correct verbiage is compensation.
Compensation.
Because you can, it can be a flat fee, it can be a commission, which could be a negotiable percentage, or it could be any of
or
a combination
other
of the other. Yes. So it's really the compensation has always been negotiable. And one of the things that the law changed in New Jersey was, it used to be on the multiple list system that you had to specify what the compensation offered to the buyer agent was, and that compensation had to be a dollar at the very minimum.
Yeah, now the $1 minimum.
Now the law has changed so that you no longer are allowed to reference any compensation to the buyer agent, and for any co-broker that wants to find out, they have to contact the list agent and ask them if they offer any compensation and what that amount would be.
Yes.
That's the change. So you're exactly right. It always was considered negotiable.
Yes.
There never was any fixed percentage or compensation amount or retainer amount. It always has been negotiable.
Yes, always has been.
That was the position of NAR during the whole lawsuit. And I think that the I think by not publishing it now, they're trying to avoid having people view and see, oh, they're offering a compensation of X, that they're offering X, so therefore I must offer X,
yes,
whatever X might be. So by eliminating any publication of the buyer agent compensation, you're thereby eliminating the transparency of that, of what it is. So you're keeping it more, you're trying to prevent it. And that was the lawsuit said, hey, there's a collusion here. Everybody's holding level at X compensation, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
this is
individually negotiated. So based on the market, based on your own experience, skill set, that's negotiated. So that's very important. And then that's the very important thing I would like to make sure. This is only our understanding of this document. So we are not attorney. We are not, special in this area. We just share our own understanding of this document, based on the training we have from the office, from the association. So, I mean, if any error, please point, let us know. So we try to invite the association the come to give a more educational speech here. But unfortunately, we were not able to get the time with them. So that's why we just, because so many people asked the question. So therefore, we thought, you know what, maybe we just use this time, the end of the year, to discuss the most asked question. Just
sure.
Go through these five pages briefly. So give you some our understanding of the document.
And the interpretations were changing from August over the last few months, what you can do and what you should do. So
they continue to
change,
we felt
the best, therefore, we felt the timing was appropriate, most appropriate, that we have this show towards the end of the year.
Yes.
Rather than right after the law came out, because it was still evolving and you didn't, NAR was changing, and the questions and the training we got from the brokerage and the interpretations were varying. So we're going to get into that first. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Seize the opportunity to lease a spacious building with private parking located in bustling downtown Jamesburg, Zone Commercial Business District, or CBD. This permitted use includes retail, office, medical, restaurant, hotels, and personal service establishments, and much more. To find out more, call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations, with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Mueller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Okay, welcome back to our show. So, Jane, without further ado, let's get into the agreement itself. I think we did enough.
Five pages.
We're not going to cover all the fill in the blanks, because a lot of it is self-evident. But the first important part is on page one, where you have to designate I think it's under paragraph one, where the buyer, it's very important the buyer understand, because they have to specify, there's a blank that the buyer is designating their agent to represent them in the following areas. Now, if you don't fill in anything, it shall be interpreted to be all of New Jersey. That means what the interpretation would be is that if you hire an agent to represent you and you leave it blank, the area, and you sign this form, and then you buy a house somewhere in New Jersey, then legally that agent, whoever has this agreement, you have this agreement with, has a right to whatever the compensation is stated on this form. Right.
Yes.
So you have to be careful. So you can limit the scope of the coverage for to whatever area you want. You can limit it to a specific property address, 123 Main Street in any town, you know, USA, or you can limit it to a township, you can say in East Brunswick or Middlesex County, or you can say all of the state of New Jersey if you want he or she, that your realtor to represent you everywhere in the state of New Jersey. So it's very important you understand the scope of what you're agreeing to in this agreement.
Yeah, once again, right, that's very important because a lot of call I got is the people say they're not comfortable to give such an agreement, right? And because, once again, this new, so everybody worried about what they're signing. My advice to all of my clients were, if you're not sure about this agent because you just met or you're not so sure, why not just sign the one property or two, whatever the property they show you? Because quite a few clients refuse to sign. And then it happened to me, one listing we had a showing, at the end they didn't show. So that was really strange, but a buyer came. What happened was, right, the buyer didn't want to sign the agreement, and the agent said, I can't show you the property. So therefore the agent didn't show up, the buyer was there. So, and then the owner didn't know what to do. They obviously can see from the ringtone. And I mean, I wish they called me. I would happy to show them as a seller agent. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know there was a misunderstanding because later on I called, try to find out. That's what happened, right? I mean, the buyer must sign agreement. I think the law changed a little bit now. You can show one house without signing the agreement. But in general, you have to sign the agreement. So my advice to the people, to the buyer out there is just put any home they showed you. Because if the agent take the time to go through it, to show you, to explain to you, and they should be entitled of the compensation, whatever you agreed with, right? So therefore, but you don't want to lock in with a particular agent because you don't know whether it suits you or not. Later on, it's harder to cancel it. Or it's extra work to cancel any agreement. So therefore, maybe the middle point is just write the house the agent show you. So
right, that way you can have a trial and error basis and test that, you know, how comfortable you feel with that agent, you know, working with that particular buyer agent when they show, if you limit it to one particular property that you're interested in putting an offer in on without limiting yourself to the entire county but it is interesting in this agreement, and there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in the language because under paragraph 2 under buyer representations, mm-hmm. Paragraph A states the buyer does not have a business relationship with another real estate brokerage firm, but from what I understand it, you can have multiple relationships, but just not as long as they're not in overlapping territories. Like if I hire you for Middlesex as my buyer agent for Middlesex County, I can hire Jane Smith to represent me in Union County, and that's not a problem. But then they clarify, so I think the intent for that paragraph is to say you don't have a business relationship with another brokerage firm for the same territorial.
Yes.
That's the implication, because by the second subpart B says no other buyer agency agreement is currently in effect for the area set forth above.
Yeah.
So they should have tightened the language. This is my lawyer side coming out.
They should have
tightened it a little bit in paragraph A. And if anybody's listening, maybe they'll come out with another addition. Buyer, because if a buyer is very detailed and they read this, they say, well, wait a minute, I do have a, if they read this by the letter of what's written, then they're technically, you know, they'd have to maybe right in. They do have a business. They may have a business relationship, just it can't be in the same overlapping territory.
That's because you have a lawyer hat. But for me, as a real estate agent, how I understand it is, say, for example, if you signed an agreement with a particular agent and then you come to open house, you said, I don't have an agent. And then when we ask you to sign the exclusive agency agreement, because remember back in August, if anybody came to open house, they have to sign that time. Later on, they said one house you don't have to sign.
Correct.
So, but that before that, it was everybody have to sign. When we put up this paperwork and a buyer refused to sign, why? Because they signed one. They just don't want to tell you they signed one. So this is, I think, the paragraph A2A. Probably just let them know you signed one. You can't sign duplicated one for the same territory.
Right, the same territory, so. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing we want to cover is really the term. It states you have to fill in the term shall begin on and expire on. And um, And then there's also within this period, the term, the buyer at any time, if you are unhappy and you've signed something, it's not binding forever or for whatever the term is, you can get out of it by canceling. If you give written notice, it'll terminate 3 days after the buyer's broker receives the written notice and effect. So there is a way out of everything. It's not like,
well, once again, this is designed to protect the consumer. If you're truly not happy, say for example, you signed with John Smith to see 123 Main Street, and then the agent doesn't respond to you for a few days, and you ask questions, you ask seller disclosure, never back to you, so you can terminate the relationship.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right, now we get to the big one that's really set forth is the commission to the broker. So that would be now under this paragraph 5 of the buyer agency agreement, it specifies there's options you can put in offer a retainer fee, which can be non-refundable or can be applied to the
Or refundable.
In the amount of, right,
yeah.
That's right. And then this amount could be credited towards whatever the final compensation amount is, or there could be a commission structure, which could be either a percentage or a flat fee of the compensation, but it must be, or there's other, and the commission must be, so the other, I guess, could be interpreted as different. Now, there's been a lot of discussion under this section that buyers have the right. If they elect to, they can elect to say, I really don't want to pay my buyer agent anything, so I'm okay with that buyer broker only showing me homes and where the seller offers a co-broker agreement.
I think that's on 5B. So 5B, next.
Right.
But this one, I think this one, my understanding is because some people may charge a tending fee because every time the agent on the client is a cost.
Mm-hmm.
So some will charge a fee, some don't. So once again, you can negotiate individually. There's no formula for all. And some maybe ask for a non-refundable container, the one amount, whatever the amount you agree. Later on, if you decided to cancel, so that's non-refundable. So that, but the agent allowed to keep that amount. And then the percentage or the flat fee, whatever, that's really between you and your buyer agent to discuss. That's really, yeah. I think the thing from this really, say, for example, if you have your agreement with your buyer agent at a certain percentage, I mean, we're not allowed to even example, we better not agree percentage. So whatever percentage you agree, but just happened, the seller offer more. So what happened to that? Say, based on this agreement, the buyer can keep the difference. So that's just
correct. That's under 5B. That means it's specified otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, if the buyer agrees to pay their agent
X amount,
let's say X amount. And then the seller is offering X plus one or X plus two.
Yeah.
Then under this, the way this is written, the additional plus one or plus two that the seller offers would go to the buyer unless it's otherwise specified.
Yes.
Under the additional provisions of this agreement.
And you can make amendment too. So if a deal by deal, you probably can change. But based on this paperwork, yes.
Right. Buyer, so that's another thing that's put in specifically to protect the consumer.
Yes.
From,
so you're aware how much your agent get from the seller, if there's any.
Yeah. Right. And the excess goes to the buyer. Yeah.
Before you wouldn't know until the closing date.
Right. Because
that's not.
The buyer would have no idea. They would just assume they don't have to pay anything unless it was negotiated.
They paid the price.
Yeah. But right.
Yeah. So that's another thing, Ken. In the past, some buyer agent would say, well, you should hire a buyer agent because it costs nothing. That's not true. The buyer paid, but in different format. They have to give the amount the seller certified because seller care about the net after all the fees and the commissions and the costs. And the buyer has to concentrate on the net, how much cost them to get a house. So, I mean, it is paid.
Right, because that was
format.
The whole argument by the lawsuit saying that really the buyer was paying
paid.
One way or the other because in order to, instead of charging, instead of listing the house for $550, the seller was listing it for 575 maybe because they had to cover the
cost
of the buyer's agent. So and so they're paying more. So the buyers, so the buyer is paying more than they would have normally. So, so there's a whole, it's debatable rather really.
I think it's good to give a buyer buyers the opportunity to consider, you know, to come to the broker's duty. That was actually six. Let's do the five first.
Yeah.
Before we jump around too much. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the line 107.
Oh, 107. Okay, I went back. Yeah. I went.
107. That's really, I mean, the that's what would specify what property you want a buyer agent to introduce you to all properties. But broker, your agent believe is going to be you know, suitable for you, and or you know, do not introduce buyer to any property where the following conditions. The following condition could be the seller may have a for sale contingency or something. So or, that's my understanding. So or, you could put that, and then the another ones including in any.
That's already pre-printed in there. Include in any seller. Include in any offer to seller that the seller will pay the broker's commissions.
Yeah.
So what that's that, actually, yeah.
Yeah. What that means is like if the buyer checked that, that means they ask the buyer agent only show them the house, seller agreed to pay the commission.
Right. So, so they have under law that's yeah, they can elect to do that as long as the whole point of this is that this you want the buyer is informed of their rights and duties and they and if they want to limit it to that subgroup, they're entitled to do that as long as there's full disclosure and they understand what they're doing.
That's
so,
right.
So that was the that's I think the gist of this agreement and the less the other parts of it have the buyer's the broker's duty.
I really like the broker's duty because before this agreement into effect, a lot of buyers, they may not interview their agent thoroughly because when you hire someone representing to sell your house, we all went through interview process, right?
As a listing agent,
and as a listing agent, you go, sometimes they interview a few agents, they choose one.
Sure, they want to know your experience, how you relate, your track record.
Exactly, but a lot of buyer just, you know, hire agent just happily answer the phone if they call from online or if they see somebody or the friends and be people you meet in gym, so you just hire. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people that time, you don't really ask their experience and the responsibility. A lot of buyer agents say, oh, go to the open house. When you like it, let me write an offer for you. And then, you know, that's not right. So the buyer agent here in this agreement is a six, specify the broker's duty.
Right.
Which is like all the listing agent have to do that with every listing we take.
Right. So we're out of time. We can't go into any more detail of this, but we encourage any buyer out there to please read and reread this thoroughly because it's, it takes
a while. You ask the buyer agent to send to you before, so you have a time to read it before, you know, before you show up in the appointment. So you can, if you make appointment with a buyer agent, you can ask them to send you this agreement before the appointment.
Absolutely.
So you have a time to read, understand.
Read and digest it.
And if you have any question, ask your buyer agent to explain to you.
Yeah. All right. We hope you enjoyed this show. We'll see you
next year.
Have a good, happy new year.
Happy new year.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.